station, and they will have a coasting time back to Earth of about 77 hours. So that puts it, if you add all those together, that comes out to something like 130 or more hours, and they have about enough oxygen for 5 days. So they certainly do have, they have a little to spare there, if my arithmetic is correct, and based on the information they've provided on what the consumables and how much oxygen they do have on board, they should be able to make it.
Let's see if I can pick up the chronology again for those who may be just picking up with us on this report. After the events started to occur last night, after the malfunctions were detected, it was quickly apparent that they would have to fire up or activate the lunar module and use it for life support, so that has been the key since the trouble began last night. The command module is now completely powered down, and as we said, Hayes is supposedly sleeping over there, and it's hard to see how anybody could sleep, but hopefully
they
he is.
Up a long time.
Yeah. There's a call from Mission Control.
We are going to try to improve the comm and telemetry by temporarily breaking lock and reacquiring. You may hear some noise in your headset.
By turning the spacecraft, they certainly improved the communication.
Right.
Half an hour ago, you couldn't understand a word they were saying.
Mission Control looks fairly calm. I see Milton Windler and Jerry Griffin in the flight director's seat behind their console. I believe that's Joe Kerwin.
Red, I think one noticeable sign here, while we're standing by to hear any more communications with between the air and ground and waiting for the press conference, which is due to start any minute now, Mission Control has been a beehive of activity all evening. I think just about all the astronauts have been in there, plus most of the executives of the Manned Spacecraft Center. Decisions are being made rapidly, and people are putting coin over their charts and consoles to make decisions to draw up a new flight plan. They just threw the older one out, and everybody who's a specialist, the engineers, the technicians, the weathermen.
56 hours, 37 minutes. Flight Director Glenn Lenny is still in the control center. We will notify newsmen on this line when he leaves for the MSC auditorium. Apollo 13 now is 197,424 nautical miles from Earth. Its velocity is 2,953 feet per second.
In other words, Glenn Lunny is the man we're waiting for on this change of flight shifts to come over, and he has not...
He was the one that was on duty when the explosion rocked Apollo 13. And he's the one who's been combating this problem and talking to all the people and his specialists in Mission Control to try to solve it, to do something about it, and to get these men home safely.
They said they did hear a bang of some kind.
It was John Schweikert who sounded the alarm. He said when the astronauts Lovell and Hayes had just come back from the lunar landing craft after checking it out in preparation for their touchdown later in the flight, and just as they were coming back in, they heard the... Michael remarked, heard this bang, and from underneath the, and just a few minutes after that, it was Lovell who came and looked out the spacecraft window and saw this gas venting from the side of the spacecraft, and the spacecraft started to roll and tumble very slowly, and the oxygen just went completely out, and they asked him about it, and that was the first indication they had that it might be really very serious. Well, they worked on the problem for several minutes. And they asked for an oxygen reading, and I think they said there isn't any.
I did copy that. Your comm is pretty good, though. How's it with us?
That's another report from the spacecraft.
What's that?
Commenting on the...
The voice is quite weak coming back from Aquarius. We can hear the mission the capsule communicator very clearly.
But the damaging report, I think, came from Lovell when Mission Control asked him, what's the oxygen reading? And he looked at the gauge and he said, zero. At that moment, I think there were a lot of anxious faces and grimaces in Mission Control. In fact, one of the men behind the console stood up and pounded on the console in disgust, saying, this is This is the first indication we had here, even though there was no official announcement, that this could easily be very serious. And, of course, it has.
Here's Lovell.
Figure the ground voice back up again. Aquarius, Houston, I don't think so at this time. Our voice is good now. How's yours?
Ours is very good.
That was Lovell.
Okay, why don't we stay where we are for a few minutes?
Especially the voice quality. They've got to maintain, of course, some sort of voice communication. There even is a plan that when the spacecraft slowly rotates the antenna out of view of the Earth, for them to turn off the set to save power. I think their biggest method of flipping switches one way or another to save all of 1 ampere of current, so they're really crimping.
That's right, Red. I think we ought to remind our audience that even though the command module is dead for all practical purposes at this point, there are batteries aboard the spacecraft, and they're being conserved at this point, using the electrical power from the lunar module to keep them going. Now, once they come back from around the moon later tonight and head back to Earth, they will still be attached to the lunar module where the crew is now living, and they'll keep that lunar module attached to them just as long as they can, perhaps 15 minutes to a half an hour before it splashed down on the Pacific on Friday.
I see they're in the mission control. I see Glenn Lunny is still there consulting with Jerry Griffin. He hasn't left yet. At the capsule communicators console, the chief of flight operations, Deke Slayton, is there. Astronaut Gene Cernan,